it is a good thing to remember. It's a good thing to keep in mind and ponder about these things, these great truths in the Word of God. So I couldn't think of a better passage to discuss this than Jeremiah 32, verse 17. And I would like you to follow along as I read. It says, O Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of Thy fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name, great in counsel and mighty in work. What a profound, wonderful opening words here. For Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand. Children, the hand of God, His arm is a strong arm. We're going to read a few important passages on this attribute of God. Has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, and a land flowing with milk and honey. And let's open it with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the opportunity to preach the word of God and what it teaches us about God. Oh, what a glorious subject it is to touch the brim of this great mountain of the divine and glorious God that we serve. Father, I pray that now this time you would take control of our thoughts. You would give us a glimpse of who you are and help us, Lord, understand these verses properly. May it not be my thoughts, but your thoughts. And I pray for your grace. I pray that you hide me behind the cross. And I pray especially today that you would capture the attention of the little ones also, so that they would understand a little bit more of who you are, of how truly powerful and glorious your name is. And Father, I pray for attentive ears and an anointed tongue. We just plead for your presence. Oh, how sweet it is to realize that you are with us, that you will take care of us, and that we can trust you fully, not just with our souls, but with our everyday lives. You truly have been a good God to us. Oh, what a privilege it is to be here. Yes, there's sickness. Yes, there's turmoil in the world. But what a comfort and peace it brings to think and ponder about who our God is and how His power and ability and might are endless. Bless our time now, Lord. I pray for an anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, boys and girls, I want you to think about something, and I'm going to go a little slow today. I really want all the children to grasp these concepts. You probably have seen your dad's odometer in front of the car, which tells you how fast the car is going, right? My kids will usually point out what speed daddy is doing and remind him of the speed limit that is being posted. Of course, I'm always obey it, right? Well, but that, even when it seems very fast, Compared to other things, it's not very fast. Usually the speed limit on a high speed highway or interstate is about 70 miles per hour. That's how we tell the speed of something. But maybe you didn't know this, but some of the fastest cars created are go at about 300 plus miles per hour. That's about four times plus the highest speed that we can go in our vehicles. But that's slow compared to other things. See, when we speak and the projection of our voice, the sound waves have a speed of about 700 miles per hour. That's very, very fast. Okay, you basically don't notice when you project your voice. It seems like it gets to the other side immediately, right? But it actually travels, and it travels around that speed, 761 miles per hour in an ideal situation. But, believe it or not, there are some means of transportation that man has created that are actually faster than the speed of sound. For example, the fastest airplane right now, I believe, in this year, I got some information last night, so I think this is accurate, but there's an American airplane called the X-15, probably the fastest airplane ever built, and the top speed is 4,500 miles per hour. That's very, very fast. That's several times the speed of sound. Incredibly fast. But even faster is the speed of light. Very fast. The speed of light is calculated to be around 186,000 miles per second. Not per hour. Every second, light, a beam of light, can travel around 186,000 MPS or mile per second. If you stand up, I want all the kids to stand up. Ready? One and three. On the count of three. One, two, three. Get up. Okay, very good. In the time that it takes you to sprint, to jump up from your seat, a beam of light can travel around the world around 7.5 times. Okay? So now you sit down and the light will have traveled around the world about 7.5 times. So I'm going to make a sound here. I want you to listen to it. Okay? You hear that? Every time I click my fingers, that's one time a beam of light going around the world. Let me do that again. Listen carefully. That's about 8 beats per minute, and that's how fast the light travels approximately around the world. Impressively fast. Totally incredibly fast. Now imagine that you can go that fast. Imagine that you would jump on a plane. You can't. It's theoretically impossible. But imagine that you can jump on a ship that can go that fast, can travel around the world that fast. Well, if you could go that fast, you can't. But if you could, just to get to the planet Jupiter, the largest planet in our solar system, it would take you 35 minutes, half an hour, to get there. It's very, very far. If you travel to Saturn, the ring planet, it would take you about 70 minutes, a little over an hour, at the speed of light, an inconceivable speed. If you went to Pluto, scientists debate if that's a planet or not, but If that is a planet or a moon, doesn't matter, but it would take you about 5.5 hours to travel to that place. 5.5 hours at this inconceivable speed of light. Now, if you travel for 1 year nonstop at that speed of light, that's what scientists call a light year. That's a distance of you traveling at the speed of light for 1 year. Imagine the distance that you can cover with that. Inconceivable, unthinkable distance. Well, that's how scientists started to have to measure the distance in our universe, because everything is so big. And they realized that in order to get to Alpha Centauri, which is the nearest star system, not the nearest star, but the nearest star system is 4.3 light years. 4.3 years of you traveling at the speed of light, you would come up across Alpha Centauri, the closest star system. Now, the scientists have calculated that our galaxy, our star system, our galaxy, not our solar system, our galaxy, entire Milky Way, is about 46,000 light years. Staggering number. So if you could live for 46,000 years, which you can't, obviously, but if you could live for 46,000 years and you travel all that time at the speed of light, you would get to the closest star system. And even that's probably a limit of our intellect's capability to grasp this, but if you kept going after that, you would know, or you could get to our whole known universe after 50 billion light years. 50 billion years traveling at the speed of light, and then you would just finally get to all our known universe. Now, needless to say, guys, this is a huge, huge universe. Not our solar system, not our planet, not our galaxy. Everything that we are able to see, the stars. And yet the Bible says that God spoke it into existence. Spoke it. He said the word, and the whole thing was done. He didn't need to exert himself. He didn't need to use up any of his power. He ended up with the same amount of power. It wasn't diminished. He didn't break a sweat. It wasn't any harder than anything else he does. And he did it in an instant. This is a staggering amount of stars, of space, of galaxies, and so on. And so the prophet says, "Oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth." It brings into perspective what he was saying when he said, "You have created the heaven." We say it very easily, but I just want you to think about the power it took to do this. Unthinkable, immeasurable amount of power. He goes on to say, "And your stretched out arm," the arm of God, for the Jewish culture, It was a way to explain to us the strength and power of God. The great, he goes on to say, there's nothing too hard for you. Then he goes on to say, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts. Boys and girls, the God we serve, the God we are in the presence of right now, is an almighty God, an all-powerful God. There is nothing, nothing too hard for Him. That kind of moves you. I don't know if you can sense that, but to awesome reverence every time we're here and we say, "Oh Lord, my God," when I'm an awesome wonder. I mean, do you understand the might, the power of the God we are in the presence of? Let me help you here a few definitions of the omnipotence of God. The word omnipotence might seem like a difficult word, but it's just a compound word. Part of it is omni, part of it is potens, a Latin terminology, which means all powerful. So a few definitions we could give. Obviously, there's nothing too difficult for God. Nothing. Also, it means that His purpose cannot be stopped. It means that all things are possible for Him. And in the words of the apostle, all things are possible with Him. God's omnipotence also means that God is able to do all His holy will. And this is the definition that I want you to think about, because we're going to use it in a little bit. But listen to it again. God's omnipotence means that God is able to do all His holy will. The word all-powerful refers to the fact that God's power is infinite and unlimited. He can do with power anything that power can do. And yet another definition, God has the power to do all and everything He wants to do. Okay? Whenever God wants to do something, He can do it because His power is infinite. Let me give you a few verses. Matthew 19:25. The disciples heard it. They were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" It is a good question to ask ourselves this morning. Who can be saved, boys and girls? The good? The strong? The smart people? Who can be saved? And well, the inference here is that it is hard. It's hard. It's harder for a camel to go through a needle's hole than for a person to be saved. And yet, Jesus responds with a very comforting statement grounded in God's omnipotence. It says in verse 26 of Matthew 19, but Jesus looked at them and listen to that compassion. When Jesus looked at something, when Jesus beholds the multitude, when Jesus beholds a person, when Jesus beheld the rich man, the ruler, Jesus looked at them and said unto them, what I want to say to you this morning, with men, this is impossible. It is impossible for a person, by his own strength, by his own power, by his own ability, even by his own desires, or by his own good intentions, to be saved. But this is the great news of the gospel. With God, all things are possible. And guess what? He made it possible. And he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. So, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Revelation 6:1 says, "And I heard it were, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God," the word is actually in the Bible, "omnipotent reigneth." Psalm 24:8 says, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Somebody counted around 500 references to God's omnipotence in the Bible. This is an important subject in the Bible. Genesis 18:14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Of course not. Jeremiah 32:26, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah." This is God Himself introducing Himself. Many of the references to God's omnipotence is God Himself saying, "I can do all things." And God says to Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" A rhetorical question, of course. There's nothing too hard for God. And our text today, "O Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched Thy arm, and there is nothing, nothing too hard for God." Boys and girls, there's nothing too hard for God. And you know, this is important because in your life, as you grow older, you're going to be faced with very difficult situations, more likely, if your life goes about the rest of the world. And you're going to wonder sometimes, will I ever get through this? Will I ever come to on the other side? Is this might be too hard. You might be tempted to think this might be too hard even for God. Oh, but the Bible over and over reminds us that there's not such a thing. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for Him. A reminder of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ one more time in this subject. The Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the Almighty God. "I am the Alpha and Omega," Revelation 1:8. "The beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is," which was, a reference to the eternity of God, "and which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty. And Spurgeon says on this, "And here, beloved, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For the passage from which the text is taken, 'Unto us a child is born.'" A child? What can a child do? A child is not almighty, is not omnipotent. A child, it totters as it walks, it trembles in its steps. "Unto us a child is born." But not just that, "unto us a child is born." A beginning implied. An utter helplessness of a child. Not just a toddler, but an infant. What power is there in him? What a state of neediness, he goes on to say, and helplessness is this. "Yea, saith the prophet, unto us a child is born, but then it is added, unto us a son is given." Christ was not only born, he says, but given. He did not begin there. The Son of God did not start there. But he was from all eternity. And then he was given. As man, he is a child born. He goes on to say, as God, he is the Son given. He emotes down from on high. He is given by God to become a redeemer. But here, behold the wonder. His name His name, the child's name, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Oh, he burst into praise. Without controversy, brothers and sisters, great is the mystery of godliness indeed. Oh, the power of God. I wonder if we think about that enough. I wonder if we would live, we would trust the way we do, the way we should, if we understand, if we understood the power of God, the omnipotence of God. Oh, there's many examples I could give you. I'm not going to go into all of them, but just think about creation. Man lately has been trying hard to refute the creation of this world. And it falls on their faces over and over. This world was created. This world was made with a purpose to show the glory of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It took 7 days, 6 days of an enormous amount of power exerted. The earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, God said, and the word went out of His mouth, had the power of God, unlimited, infinite power, and thus created in an instant. Oh, we see. I told you that the omnipotence of God refers to the fact that God is able to do everything, to do all His holy will. Psalm 115:3 reminds us of this, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Another reminder of this fact is the names that the Bible gives to God. Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. El Shaddai. El Shaddai meaning God Almighty. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And an interesting one up here, I don't know how to pronounce these names exactly, but that means the strong one. Over and over, the Bible refers to God with His immense ability and power. And then probably another one that you haven't heard about, El Gibor. In Jeremiah 20, he says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. And it's been translated as literally as God's hero, God's champion. Back in the days, the biblical times, there were many warriors, there were many leaders of the armies, and then there was one champion. There was one who stood out by their strength, by their size, by their ability, by their armor, by their history of success and victories, and they call that champion or hero. And so God in the Bible is referred to as that one, that invincible champion. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors, listen to this war language. My persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. El Gibor, God the champion. Amazing. Amazing. All going back to His immense power. Now, Let's look at our definition a little closer here. Lest we make a mistake. God's omnipotence means that God is able to do all His holy will. Notice that I didn't say God's omnipotence means that He can do whatever I can think of. You see that? God's omnipotence does not mean that He can do whatever I can think of. Let me start by saying there's a lot of things that God cannot do. Have you thought about that? God's power is infinite, yes. But there's a lot of things that God cannot do, because that would be contrary to His will. Okay? That's what our definition says. God can do whatever He wants to do, whatever His will is, whatever His holy will is, because God will never will to do something wrong. God will never desire to do something evil. Therefore, His omnipotence means that He can do everything that He wants to do. Okay? Let me put it for you this way. Daniel 4:35 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth," not everything, "He doeth according to His will." Okay? So in other words, whatever God wants to do, He does. You could say that about God's omnipotence. God can do whatever He wants to do. Some people have tried to be really smart about this and say, "Well, I don't believe this. Tell me something. Can God create a rock that is so big that He can't pick it up?" What would you say to that? An interesting question, huh? Because if you say that, yes, God can create a rock that is really, really big, and then you say, well, but if He could create it, then it would mean that there's something that He created that He cannot do. And if you say, no, He cannot create it, then you can say, well, He can't do that. So what do we do with that? Well, there's a couple answers to that. The first one is that is just illogical. In other words, this is a silly presentation of an argument. It's silly. There's a confusion, a contradiction, in other words. Something can't be and not be at the same time. And so they try to use that to say that God cannot do something. But the best answer you could give, you could have for somebody who tries to tell you, well, if God can do everything, why isn't He doing this? Why isn't He healing everybody? That's a little bit of a better argument, I suppose. Well, the answer goes back to our definition. Omnipotence of God is that God has all the power to do whatever He wants to do. In other words, if He doesn't want to do something, He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to exert power that way. But whatever He wants to do, He does. Are you confused? Is this too hard, guys? Remember this one thing. God does whatever He pleases. God does whatever He wants. Simple enough, right? Don't let anybody try to trick you into those silly arguments. That's what all it is. Well, and we should finish this thought by saying God cannot lie. God cannot sin. God cannot stop being God. God cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2:13, Hebrews 6:18 says, "It is impossible for God to lie. Titus 1:2, he cannot lie, he cannot deny himself. There's a lot of things, and we rarely accept that, okay? Yes, there's a lot of things that cannot do. That does not mean his power is limited. It just means that he is too great of a God to lie, to deny himself, to be anything less than faithful. So, when we say that God can do everything, we need to qualify that by saying God can do everything that He wants to do. Oh, there's a lot to say about this. But let me just give you another a few thoughts here. The Word of God is omnipotent. I don't know if you've thought about that. I don't think I've ever heard anybody put it that way even. But the Word of God is omnipotent. Listen to these verses. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It is the Word of God that changes a man's heart. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. James 1:21. Listen to this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able. See that? So in other words, what saves you is the ability, innate ability, in the Word of God. The Word of God itself is powerful. Now, God is powerful, and He is omnipotent, and He displayed His attributes in His own words and endued His Word with those attributes. Oh, and let me remind you, it was the Word of God that created the world. Hebrews 11:3, through faith, we understand, this usually verse is usually utilized to describe faith. But listen to this in this context. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, the universe, were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Namely, the Word of God. The Word of God came forth and created. Romans 1:16, in case you're not convinced yet. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is this gospel which is what? The power of God. Listen, folks. The gospel. Those few succinct statements on Christ's death and resurrection engulf the power, the almighty power of God for salvation. I wonder how lightly we take sometimes this gospel. I wonder if we trifle with it. Next time, remember, the reason we preach the gospel clearly, plainly, without gimmicks and without parties, just plainly, is because it is in it that the almighty power of God is. Nothing else will do. It's very easy to believe this lie that's going around today, that we have to do something. We have to throw a party, and then we will slowly introduce some sort of diluted gospel, and then we're going to kind of trick them into the kingdom or something, right? That is funny to us, but it all starts with a diminished view of the gospel. If we truly believe that the power is there, we'll just present it and believe it. Believe that seed will actually grow Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. But, listen to this, it shall accomplish. In other words, just like God's will is accomplished, the word of God that goes forth accomplishes. See that? God's word, omnipotent. Now, to my box. I know you're waiting for that. Hope the folks at home can see and listen to this. So, God created people. Can all see that? Bible sometimes calls us that we are jars of clay. Jars of clay? That's a word in English, right? Jars? Jars. Anyway, vessels, right? Vessels. So, He created us, and He said that His creation was good, was sinless, because everything God does is perfect, beautiful, good. But sin came, right? Sin came, and this beautiful thing was no longer beautiful. It was broken. Okay, cover your eyes, okay? Okay, it's coming. Wow. Okay. It's very broken. So, now, we have a very ugly, shapeless thing. See that? So, God exerted an incredible amount of power to create it in the first place. But in order to put it back together, it takes a double amount of power, because now we're not just creating something. God wasn't just creating something, but He had a messy, sinful, horrible thing. You see that? Sin causes the destruction of this beautiful thing that God has made. But somehow, God, with His omnipotence, His power, His infinite power, through the gospel, through faith, through His grace, does it again. Makes it again, again. It back together. And now, creation, the power for creation was exuberant. But to make a sinful man a new creature takes an awful lot of power. Let me read what Brother Watson says. Greater is the power put forth in conversion than in creation. When God made the world, He met no opposition. He had a void to work with. as he had nothing to help him, so he had nothing to hinder him. But when he converts a sinner, he meets with the opposition. Satan opposes him, and the heart opposes him. A sinner is angry with converting grace. The world was the work of his fingers. Psalm 8:8, but conversion is the work of God's arm. In the creation, God wrought one miracle. He spake the world. But in conversion, he works many miracles. The blind is made to see. The dead is raised. The deaf hears. The voice of the Son of God. Oh, the infinite power of Jehovah. Before his scepter, the angels veil and prostrate themselves, and kings cast their crowns at his feet for his omnipotence. This is a lot bigger than I usually think of God. Be honest here. My God that I serve is awesome. Pastor Bond told us about a story. I have more things in my box, by the way. Of Aaron's rod. Stick. Rod, right? Which was dry. I just picked this up from the firewood area. Is dry. It's been there for years. No life in it. As dead as a sinner. His trespasses. And yet when Aaron put it in the ark, left it there, it's easy. It's not easy, but you can conceive of a plant growing, but you can't conceive of a dead plant that buds overnight, or in our case, 5 minutes. Well, there's the other stuff. But you get the idea. It's an enormous amount of strength. I mean, it's easy for the sun to hurry up, but it's another thing for it to go back. It's one thing to go forward a few hours in your watch, but it is hard for it to go backwards. Also, it's hard for a person to be saved. The only thing that will do is the immense power of God. It's easy for us to conceive of a puma. Do you guys know what a puma is? What's another word for a puma? What's that? Mountain lion. Yeah. It's easy for us to conceive of that. But it's another thing to think of a leopard. You guys know what a leopard is? A cheetah? To peel off his stripes, turn it into something else. Right? I said that all wrong, but what I'm saying is God exerted a lot more power to change a man than to create him in the first place. There is the power of God at work. Oh, but some have objected to this and said, why can't God, if he has all power, why can't God just heal all of us? Have you heard that argument? Boy, we could really use some healing around here. Man, that'd just be wonderful. He's all of a sudden have this power to heal. I would have used it a lot by now. So why isn't God doing more? Have you wondered about that? Well, we go back to our definition that we've been saying. God's omnipotence means that He can do all His holy will. That means that in His perfect will, He has not willed that we will be all healthy and wealthy. Those are some hard words, and I'm not saying them lightly, because many of us are struggling with disease. But the truth is that God's will is perfect. And everything that He wants to do, He does out of His perfection. Which means that God works all things together for good. And He exerts His power to execute His will, not ours. Oh, and there comes something else comes into play, which is the fact that we don't have the whole picture. As much as we want to understand and should try to understand, only God knows what all He is doing. But that's not all. Second application I could say here is that one of Satan's lies is that you have to clean up your act so that you can come to Him and therefore serve Him. You know, Satan would love to tell you, yes, you can come to God once you fix your life and change your sins, fix it, clean up your act. And yet God says, come to Me, because I have the power to help you defeat the sin in your life. So in other words, sin is not something that we fight on our own so that we can be accepted. We come to Him first, who has all the power. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, you know the verse, He is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able. Do not wait. Do not believe the devil when he tells you, you need to wait till you're good to come to God. Come to God. He'll make you good. Secondly, think about this. This is staggering. How do you pray? Do you pray like God is all-powerful? Yeah. This is convicting. If I believe that God truly can do whatever He pleases, I will be before the throne of grace all the time. You following? We would be there pleading for that power. We would be believing. Spurgeon says, we dare not to move on from this point without mentioning that this divine power is at our disposal. For we are told that this God is our God forever and ever. The Lord is my portion, says the psalmist. Therefore will I hope in Him. Christian, he says, the potency which dwells in Jehovah belongs to you. It is yours to rest upon in holy trust, and yours to stir up in earnest pleading. That little sinew that moves the great arm is prayer. I mean the sending of the believer's prayer. If you can't pray, God will work. Quote, to him that believeth, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And he asks, it is not the question, can God do it? The question is, can you believe it? The question is not, can God do it? It never is. His power is limitless. But the question is, can you believe it? Oh, if we would just be more in tune with what God wants, then we would ask for whatever, and it would be done. John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 16:23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatsoever. Again, if we would just live in the light of the will of God, if his will and ours would be in sync more often, if we truly believed in what he has said, if we learned to will what he wills, then, and only then, everything that we ask in his name will be given to us. Listen to Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, says the Apostle Paul, according, listen to this, to the power that what? That worketh in us. The power of God that worketh in us. Do you understand that this power of God is at the disposal of the faithful servant of his? Oh, Christian, I know that our problems seem very big. We're in the midst of them. It means that there's no up is down and down is up. Will you remember about his unlimited power? Will you remember that he does whatsoever he wills? Will you remember that prayer is that sinew that moves the arm of God? And will you remember that these objections are silly questions? Do you remember that when Jesus was on earth, he healed diseases, he healed the disciples' mother, he healed the leprosy, he healed the sick of fever, and many others, effortlessly. But he didn't heal them all. Do you know that? He healed many, but he didn't heal them all. Because his purpose to be on earth is the same purpose that he has today. A spiritual healing. A spiritual healing. Far outweighing anything that goes on in our physical bodies. And that same Jesus, boys and girls, tells you today to come to him. And asks you, are you born again? Are you a new creature? Have you been remade by God? Have you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been made again? If you have not, if you are still broken, if you are still the old creature, and you know it, you have not been saved, get that settled today. Get that settled today. we are without a doubt approaching very fast the coming of our Lord. It gets closer and closer every day. And this world is acting like a pregnant woman that is ready to burst. It's showing all the symptoms. Are you a new creature? Are you a new creature? It is my desire that all our children here today would understand the importance of putting their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And the Jesus that tells you to come to Him is the same Jesus that created with His power, immense power, and He will save you. With God, all things, even you, even your salvation, with God, all things are possible. As hard as it is, be saved today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this time. We fall on our faces in awe of Your majesty and power. What a glorious work You did in our hearts when we received You as our Savior, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing it is for a person, a sinner, to be made again. And we pray, Lord, for each one of our children and maybe the adults. Maybe they know in their hearts that they're not in their way to heaven. I pray that You work in their hearts. We thank You for the amazing truths that we find in Your Word. Pray that they'll work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.